brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. You can listen to this program again online at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Vipassana Meditation. That's V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A Meditation. Alternate weeks will be in Hindi. We will now hear an extract from a talk given by Mr. Goenka in 2002 at the Metropolitan Centre in Calgary, Canada.
Friends, we have all assembled here this evening to understand what is Vipassana and how does it help us in our day-to-day life and how it is relevant in today's world. Vipassana is actually not a meditation, but the word meditation has become very common with Vipassana, and we have started also using it. There's a difference. The definition is not correct when we say meditation. In meditation, you have a stationary object and you keep your attention on this object continuously and the mind gets concentrated and gets absorbed in it. But here it is different. It is observation, self-introspection, observing the reality within oneself as it is, not as you would like it to be, as it is in its true nature, in its true characteristic. And that helps to understand the totality of the truth. And that helps us to make right decisions, correct decisions, good for ourselves and good for others. As it is, from the time one has taken birth, opened eyes, one has been observing things outside. But what is happening inside? That is always in dark. And that is much more important to know what is happening inside. Something has happened outside. You come in contact with a person, you come in contact with an incident, a situation. Yes, one should know what is happening outside. But simultaneously one should know what is happening inside. Otherwise, the truth is partial truth, not totality of the truth. And partial truth is distorted truth. It does not give a true picture. And therefore the decisions many a times go wrong. Something has happened outside, and what has started happening inside? If you are aware of both, then you are aware of the totality of the truth. And then every decision that you make will be a good decision, right decision, good for you and good for others. Now what is this introspection of the truth within and how does it help us? We have to develop the faculty to feel the reality within ourselves. If we just try to understand it at the intellectual level, it is not Vipassana. It won't help you. If you just accept it at the devotional level because an enlightened person has said so or a scripture says so, it won't help. At the experiential level, within the framework of the body, what is happening? That is very important for us to make our decisions. The entire physical structure, the entire mental structure, the combination of the two, one starts understanding a constant interaction is going on between the mind and the matter. The mind keeps on influencing the matter, the body. The matter keeps on influencing the mind at a very deep level. The so-called conscious mind does not know what's happening. Deep inside, what is happening is unknown. And because it is unknown, one does not know that the decision that I am making is so harmful to me and harmful to others. How to know the reality at the experiential level within the framework of the body? First, you have to train your mind to become very sharp, very sensitive, so that it can feel different types of physical sensations on the body. Very gross, solidified, intensified, unpleasant sensations, one keeps on feeling, no difficulty. There is pain, there is pressure, there is heaviness, there is numbness, heat, perspiration. One can feel that. But not only that, there are so many different sensations within the framework of the body. And some of them are so subtle. As one keeps on practicing this technique, as one keeps on going deeper and deeper at deeper level of the mind, one comes to the stage where there is very subtle oscillation going on, very subtle oscillation, which ordinary mind, the so-called conscious mind, cannot feel. So we have to train our mind to be so sharp, to be so sensitive, to feel all different kinds of sensations. What does one gain by that? It is not just to quench the thirst of curiosity, what is happening in my body? Let me see what is happening in my body. No. It is to train the mind to learn how to act when one faces different situations in life. At present, the habit pattern of the mind is to react. A blind reaction is going on. That habit of blind reaction always generates some negativity or the other, some pollution or the other in the mind, some defilement or the other in the mind, and one becomes miserable. And deep inside, this process of blind reaction of craving, blind reaction of aversion, constantly going on day and night, every moment. There are different sensations throughout the body all the time. Some are pleasant, some are unpleasant, some are gross, some are subtle. When one feels unpleasant, gross sensations, the habit pattern of the mind is to react with aversion, with hatred. When one comes across very subtle, pleasant sensations, the habit pattern of the mind is to react with craving, with clinging. And one does not know that whenever I generate craving or whenever I generate aversion, I lose the balance of my mind. I lose the peace of my mind. I lose the harmony of my mind. I lose the real happiness of my mind. That can only be understood by direct experience. And for that, courses of 10 days are given. Residential courses are given. Very essential. Because first 3 days, you train your mind to become very sharp, very sensitive, so that it can feel different sensations in the body from time to time, from moment to moment. Whenever someone decides to learn this technique, one has to join a 10-day course in a congenial atmosphere with least disturbance and a proper guide who has got experience of the technique to guide you. You are asked to sit comfortably in any posture that keeps you comfortable for longer periods at a stretch is a good posture for you. Not necessarily a lotus posture or half lotus posture. If someone can sit conveniently, a lotus posture, half lotus posture, go ahead, nothing wrong. Otherwise, any posture that keeps you comfortable for longer periods at a stretch is a good posture for you. You are asked to keep your back and your neck straight because this will keep the mind very attentive. You are asked to keep your eyes gently closed. Eyes have got no function. You have to feel the reality within the framework of the body. Mentally, eyes have got no function. And if you keep your eyes open, many objects outside will distract your mind. You won't be working merely on the framework of the body, inside the framework of the body. Keep your eyes gently closed. Keep your mouth gently closed. And see what reality is manifesting itself now. Understand the entire path from the beginning to the end. The entire path is to be with the truth, 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 nothing but truth. And truth, not the truth which is expressed by a wise person or by a guru or your scriptures, nothing doing. The truth that you experience within the framework of the body, the truth experienced by you is the truth which will help you to go deeper, deeper, deeper. Initially, you come across very gross realities pertaining to the body, pertaining to the mind. And as you keep on working as per the instructions, it becomes subtler, subtler, subtler. Subtlest reality pertaining to the matter, subtlest reality pertaining to the mind, the mental contents. And a time comes, of course, much later, when you transcend the field of mind and matter and experience the ultimate truth. And once you experience that, you are a totally changed person. But step by step, as you are moving towards the ultimate truth, working with the truth that you are experiencing from moment to moment, a change starts coming in your mind. You start correcting yourself. Because this introspection is to realize what is wrong. What is wrong within me? And that wrong, once you realize, automatically it gets changed. Provided you don't react to it. Just observe. You don't try to do anything. Let the reality manifest itself as it is. As it is. And the rest leave it to nature. Nature helps. Or you can say the God Almighty helps. But you remain with the truth.
The following are some of the questions and answers from the same talk.
Isn't meditation running away from what life has to offer? 10 days you have to run away, yes. But after that you have to live the life. You are not running away from your responsibilities. People who are good vipassana practitioner, they find they have started working in a perfect way, in a better way, not harming themselves, not harming others. And their whatever profession they are, they get better results, more results, because they can make quick decision and right decision whenever any problem arises. Why do you instruct your students to observe respiration at the entrance of the nostril? Is it observing at the rise and fall of the belly? Yes. There is a tradition where people are asked to observe the rise and fall. As you breathe in, the belly rises, as you breathe out, falls. But a very crude way, the mind is now on a bigger area. And Buddha wanted to keep your attention on pinpointed area. And this is pinpointed area. He said very clearly, above the upper lip, below the nostril, pinpointed awareness should be there. And that is why the tradition has maintained the purity of the technique, and they want to observe the breath at this area, not at the belly. Other Buddhist traditions have many different objects of meditation besides breath and sensation. Where did they come from? Ask them from where they get it. Buddha never taught. Of course, for some people who can't observe the breath, some objects were given, but again, reality, no imagination. But very soon one has to come to feel sensation. Mind must become very sharp to feel, and the rest of the journey is the same. This sounds very serious. Maybe I should wait till I get old to learn this. You don't want to be happy for your rest of the life. You want to be happy only after you become old. Oh no. Be happy. From now itself, be happy. The rest of the life, you be a happier person. The technique is to be learned, I say, from the childhood itself, so that the whole life is there and one can live a happy life, peaceful life. You speak a lot about the negative mental contents and the negative sensations. What about the pleasant sensations like joy, love, happiness? Yes, when it is superficial, just on the surface, pleasant sensation. The danger is when that pleasant sensation comes, you start reacting with craving, clinging. But there is not eternal. And when you miss it, you become so very much unhappy, so very much miserable. So when you go to the depth of the mind and purify the mind at the deepest level, then the happiness that comes is not the happiness to which you have any kind of attachment to it. You just observe it. If it goes away, still you are happy. It remains you are happy. In every situation, you keep yourself very happy. If it is not a sectarian teaching and you are not a guru, so why do some of your students bow down before the teacher? Ask the students. I never tell them to bow down. If they have a feeling of gratitude and they want to express that, nothing wrong. But gurudom should not arise because of that. What is guru? A guru, when he says that you all are weak people, how can you liberate yourself? And I am such a strong person, I will liberate you. Come, surrender to me and I will liberate. Then that gurudom is dangerous. This person will exploit you in many ways. So be careful. When the teacher says or the guide says, I can't do anything, I only show you the path. And you have to walk on the path. Every step you have to take yourself. You have to liberate yourself. Nobody else can liberate you. Somebody can give you guidance, that's all. Then the guru is just a guide, not the type of guru who tries to exploit you. Can children practice vipassana? And at what age? Before birth. They must be given vipassana before birth. A pregnant mother, when she comes to a 10-day course, she is not coming only for herself, she is coming for the coming child also. And what wonderful vibration this child gets. Purity, free from defilement. And on the 10th day when she learns love, compassion, goodwill, what nutrition she is giving to the child. And the child comes out a very healthy child mentally. And therefore many pregnant mothers come to the course, they say, I want a Dhamma baby, and they get Dhamma baby. So give this training while the child is in the womb, and you will find the child comes out a very happy person. What is grief? How do you work with it? When you lose the peace of your mind, there is grief. So why lose the peace of the mind? If you lose the peace of the mind only on the surface and then you get rid of this grief, you feel I am out of my grief, but deep inside the grief is there constantly. There is disturbance deep inside. Come out of that disturbance and vipassana helps you to go to the depth of the mind and come out of the disturbance at the root level. Can vipassana help my asthma? It is said that it is related to mind stress. Yes, all the psychosomatic diseases automatically get removed, but don't come with the aim of curing any of your physical ailment. Otherwise, all the time your attention will be, my physical ailment, is it becoming better or not? Is it going away or not? Is it reducing or not? You won't practice vipassana. Practice vipassana. The mind becomes purer and purer. Then any illness with the base of mind automatically gets removed. It's just a byproduct. The main thing is how to purify the mind at the root level. I know the Buddha's teaching doesn't give
importance to miracles, but aren't they useful to attract others? If you attract others by miracles, then they will look for miracles only. They won't practice. The biggest attraction is when they find how a very miserable person has changed so much. How a person who is such a terrible, inhuman life living, how he has changed with compassion. That is the biggest attraction. That is the biggest miracle. Of course, miracles do come. As you practice, you go deeper. Miracles come, but don't show these miracles to anybody. Otherwise, Dhamma will get polluted. Keep the Dhamma pure. It is not for showing miracle. It is for showing the result of Dhamma, how people get liberated from their misery. That is more important.
Vipassana, which means to see things as they really are, is one of India's most ancient techniques of meditation. It was taught in India about 2,500 years ago as a universal remedy for universal ills. Vipassana meditation is a simple, practical technique which enables one to lead a more positive, balanced, and happy life. It focuses on the deep interconnection between mind and body, which can be experienced directly by disciplined attention to the physical sensations that form the life of the body and that continuously interconnect with and condition the life of the mind. Although Vipassana was practiced and taught by the Buddha, it contains nothing of a sectarian or religious nature. The technique of Vipassana meditation is taught at 10-day residential courses during which participants learn the basics of the method and practice sufficiently to experience its beneficial results. More than 100 meditation centers have been established around the world, including in Asia, the Middle East, Europe, North America, and Australasia. New Zealand has had a center since 1987. This program is brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. The New Zealand Center is located at 153 Burnside Road, Makarau, Kaukopakopa, approximately 1 hour drive north of Auckland. The website is www.medini.dharma.org. That is www.medini.dharma.org. The phone number is 09-420-5319. That's 09-420-5319. There are several centres in Australia. For more information, contact Dharma Bhumi at 212 Station Street, Blackheath, New South Wales. The telephone number is 02-4787-3600 and the website is www.bhumi.dharma.org. That's www.bhumi.dharma.org.